Okay, today's daf is Sukkah daf Lamed Beis. We left off on daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. We were about to discuss a lulav shel Asherah. We're continuing in the psulim of a lulav. The Gemara is going to talk about a lulav Hanistak and other psule lulav. Then we're going to have a little sugya identifying how we know what a lulav is, which part of the palm tree is actually the lulav. We're going to talk about Sinei Har Barzel, which is a different type of growth, and how we know that that's not, or whether that is kosher for a lulav or not. And then we're going to talk about the shear of a lulav, how big a lulav has to be. The Mishnah was somewhat vague. It said lulav sheish bo shlosha tvachim kedei l'naneh bo. So what does that extra phrase kedei l'naneh bo mean? And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to get us into hadas. It's going to tell us all the halachos of hadasim, and the Gemara is going to have again a sugya identifying how we know which min is a hadas, how we know it's not some other branch. And we're going to conclude with a short discussion of a hadas shota, which is looks like a hadas, except that instead of having all three leaves coming out of one spot, it has two leaves coming out of one spot and then another leaf higher up. So that's going to be called a hadas shota. But first, again, we're finishing up our discussion, or continuing our discussion about lulav. So we are holding at the two dots on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, four lines before the end of the page. So the Mishnah had said that shel asher v'shel ir hani dachas is possible, that if we have a lulav that comes from an asherah tree or comes from an irani dachas, so the city that most of its inhabitants did have a desire and therefore has to be burnt down, so the lulav is possible. So frak the Gemara v'shel asherah possible, is a lulav of an asherah tree possible? An asherah tree is of a desire, so it's asur bahana, but does that mean that it's possible to use for the mitzvah of lulav? V'ha amar rava lulav shel avol dezara lo yitol v'im natal kasher. Rava taught us that you're not allowed to use a lulav shel avol dezara. It's not a good idea because, as Rashi points out, it's ma'us l'gavoa. You're going to use something like that for a mitzvah. Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's feh. He's not interested in something that was used for avol dezara l'gavoa. But it is kasher because it's not called that you're getting hana'a from the avol dezara, even though it is yisrei hana'a. The concept is mitzvos lav lehanus nitnu, that when one enjoys the benefit of getting a mitzvah, that's not technically called hana'a in halacha. It does not mean that one's not allowed to enjoy a mitzvah. Mitzvah slav lehanus nitnu just means that it does not fit the technical definition of hana'a. So if a person takes a neder that he's not going to get hana'a from something, or something is yisuri hana'a, you could do a mitzvah with that item, and that's not called that you're getting hana'a. So that's why Rava holds him not al kasher, that it is kasher to use a lulav shel asherah. Why does our Mishnah say that a lulav shel asherah is no good? So answers the Gemara, there are two types of asherahs. Hacha ba asherah de Moshe askinan de kitusei mechta shiurei. That over here we're talking about the asherah de Moshe. Our Mishnah is talking about the asherah trees that were there at the time of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, when Yoshua led the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, where the Torah specifically says yivashreim tisrufun be'esh, that we need to burn down the asherahs. So it's not just an issue that it's asur ba'anah. If it were asur ba'anah, that would be one thing, but the din is that you have to burn them, and once you have to burn them, so we apply the concept of kitusei mechtas shiurei, that it's as if it doesn't have the full shear. And so the Rishonim associate kitusei mechtas shiurei, the Ritva associates this with the concept of kolo omei lisarif kisarif dami, that whatever is going to be burnt, we view it as if it's already burnt, and therefore we view it like a pile of ashes, and the pile of ashes obviously doesn't have the full shear of a lulav. The Tosfos Masech Sota writes that even though Chamar Mod Kitusa Mechta Shiurei, because it's Nisra Anah, it makes it like an Afra Diara, meaning even if you don't hold Kolomi the Sarv Kisarv Dami, like the Sheet of Rabbi Shimon, you hold like Chamim that don't say Kolomi the Sarv Kisarv Dami, Kitusa Mechta Shiurei would still apply, that it's a stronger concept than Kolomi the Sarv Kisarv Dami. But so that's the question, whether this is just an outgrowth of Kolomi the Sarv Kisarv Dami, or it's beyond that. Now the Rambam writes that the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnah says the reason for the psul of lulav shel asherah v'shel irani dachas is because of mitzvah abba ba'avera, and you can't use, it's not a mitzvah if you do a mitzvah abba ba'avera. So the Magen Mishnah writes that that's obviously based on a different girsa, meaning there's no other way to deal with it other than say it's a different girsa in the Gemara. The Gemara is pretty explicit over here that it has nothing to do with mitzvah abba ba'avera. It's about kitusei mechta shiurei. Deka nami dekatani dum yadirani dachas shma mina, and the raya that that's the case is that in it mentions Asherah right next to Irani Dachas. What's the din by Irani Dachas? Irani Dachas has to be entirely burnt. So it must be that we're talking about Asherah de Moshe, where the halacha is that the Asherah has to be burnt. And we're not stam talking about a regular Asherah that's Asher Bahana, but does not have to be burnt. So Rashi writes that these ulavim of Asherah in the days of Moshe, we have to burn them, and that's the Ketuzim Mechashire. Tolson Yavama says that no, it's not just the fact that it has to be burnt, that even Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, which requires Geniza and not necessarily Sreifa, we would also say Ketuzim Mechashire. Tolson writes in Yavama Stav Kuf Gimel that Ketuzim Mechashire applies even to something that has to be hidden away, something that requires Geniza. He says, Ein Lecha Ketuzim Shir Gadol Mizeh, there's no greater cutting off of the shear than making it inaccessible. So if it needs Geniza, if it needs to be hidden, it needs to be buried somewhere, so that makes it inaccessible. That's also considered Kitusei Mechtas Shiurei. So that's the question of how literally we take Kitusei Mechtas Shiurei, because one could argue when it needs Geniza, so it's fully intact. That's not, and certainly if you hold it's Kala Omid Liz, so what? If something's Geniza, you could dig it up. It's not Kitusei Mechtas Shiurei. So that's the question whether it's a very literal phrase, Kitusei Mechtas Shiurei or not. Okay, Nikdam Rosha, the Mishnah said that if the top of the lulav is chopped off, that it's going to be pasul. It's a nikdam rosho or nifritu olav, it's pasul, but if it's nifridu olav, it's kosher. So amar afunu loshanu ele nikdam, avol nista kosher. It's only a problem if the top is cut off, but if it's cracked, then it's kosher. So frak the gemara, v'nista kosher, is it, if it's cracked, is it kosher? V'atanya lulav kafuf kavutz saduk is on the list, Akum Dom Lamagal Pasul, on the list of the types of lulavim that are pasul, it mentions saduk. So how can you tell me that nistak is kasher? So charus pasul, domel charus kasher, and just continues on the list that if it's charus, it's pasul, but if it's domel charus, it's kasher. Charus, Rashi says, is kasher, shenasa charios, that it becomes very hard. Domel charus means it has begun to harden, but it's not fully hardened yet. But bottom line is, saduk is on the list of things that are pasul. So how can you say that if it's nistak, it's kasher? So I'm Rav Papa David Kihimnek. It depends how the sedek is. If the sedek is just that it's split a little bit, so that's kosher. But if they go in different directions, the middle leaf faces in different directions, like a Y or like a V, it faces out in different directions, that's a hemnik, and that's going to be pasul. Akum Dom Lamagal, we said that if it's one of the things we happen to mention in the course of this brisa is that if it's bent like a magal, then it's going to be pasul. So Amar Rav Lo Amar El Lefanav, that's only if it's bent forward. Avali Achrav Briyasehu, but if it's bent backwards, Dom Lamagal, which is like a semicircle, if it's bent backwards, so then that's the natural way it grows. Amar Rav Nachman, now we generally, people very often are very careful to look at their lulavim, and hold it out like they're peering through I don't know what you call it, but they to make sure it's perfectly straight, it's exactly straight. That's nice. That's a hidur. That's wonderful. It's not going to be a problem of akum dom lemagel. If it was a problem of akum dom lemagel, it wouldn't fit in the boxes that they ship them in. The boxes are only about 6 inches wide. Akum dom lemagel is that it's mamish like a semicircle. You wouldn't need to hold the lulav up and look at it carefully to check for akum dom lemagel. So to find an actual psul of a really bent lulav is not pashut, not easy to find. Yeah, those who make the picture books of lulavim probably have a hard time to find all these psulim. It's not so easy. So Amar Rav Lo Amar El Lefan Vav Lachr Briyasi. But again, if it's bent backwards, that's okay. Amar Rav Nachman Stadin Kilafan of Dami. If it's bent toward the sides, that's Kilafan of Dami. That's like being bent to the front. Vami Lo Kalachr of Dami. Some say no, it's like it's bent toward the back, and it's okay. Amar Rav Ahaylu Lavad the Salik Bechad Hutza Bal Mumhu Apostle. A lulav that goes on one leaf, so it's a balmum and it's pasul. So what does that mean? Salik bechad hutza goes up on one leaf. Rashi writes, not one leaf, but rather shekol olav mitzad echad. It means that all of the leaves are on one side. That the lulav has the shidret, has the spine, and it has leaves that come out on both sides of the spine. Let's say it only has leaves that come out on one side of the spine, not on the other side of the spine. That's salik bechad hutza. So that's considered a balmum, and that's pasul. The Rambam in the 8th parak of Hilchos Lulav Halacha Dalid says that Derech Halulav Shu Olav Gedelim Shnayim Shnayim Umuchubar Migabam, that the lulav is usually grows in such a way that the leaves grow out two by two and they're attached on the back. And this lulav, the olam are not attached mitchilas briyasam echad lechaveiro, that even though you have leaves on either side, they are not attached to each other toward the back. So that's how the Rambam understands salak bechad hutza, is that the leaves on either side have no relationship with each other, they're not connected to each other. Rav Sar Shalom writes that that what it means is lulav is only has one leaf biikaro, that goes ad sof hashidra, that there's only one leaf on the lulav, it doesn't have any other leaves on it. So the Bikur Yaakov in Tafresh Memhe says, well, okay, we have three different shitos of what salak bechad hutza means. So he says, let's say you have three different lulavim, and each of them have one of these psulim. So he says, if you have three lulavim like this, miman of shuch, you could be yotzei and make a bracha. So you could make a bracha and take one after the other, each one. So it sounds very reasonable. They're all arguing. Mistami, each one says salak bechad hutza is what I say it means, not what the other ones say it means, and the other ones would be kosher. So you could take all three lulavim and definitely be yotzei and make the bracha. However, the Bach says that no, salak bechad hutza, we have a different shitos about what salak bechad hutza means. They're not arguing with each other. They're giving different examples of salak bechad hutza, but they each agree to the other that they're all going to be pasul. They're all, the perushim are true. They're all emes. They're all the definition of salak bechad hutza. And therefore, if you have three of them, you have all three of these different psulim. You have three lulavim, which is each of these different psulim. You're not going to be able to be yotzei. It's not going to work for the mitzvah of lulav. And we had mentioned, if you have a bent lulav, there is a very interesting discussion about lulav where the tiyomes is bent, what we call a knepel, where it's just bent a little bit on top. Now let's read the little piece on the tiyomes, and then we'll discuss that a little bit. Nifritzu alav, so if the leaves are nifritzu, amrav papa nifritzu, what does that mean? Da'avit kichufya, it's like a broom, just like the pieces of a broom. We're not really attached to each other, you just tie them together at the top, and then you could sweep with them. So that's what the lulav is like. It's just a whole bunch of detached leaves that you hold together by being ma'aged them at the bottom. Nifridu, di'ifr difrude. Nifridu means they are attached, they're just scattered in different directions. By Rav Papa, Nechlukah tiyomes mahu. What's the din of nechlukah tiyomes? So tashma, if the tiyomes is split. So tashma, da'amar, the tiyomes is the middle leaf, the top middle leaf. So da'amar Rav Masun, it changes to Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, nitla tiyomes pasul. If the tiyomes is missing, then it's pasul. My love, who had in nechlukah? Isn't the assumption that it's the same thing as nechlukah tiyomes? Says Gemara, lo. Nitla shiny. If the tiyomes is missing, it's different. Tachasaleik, because the lulav is chaser, it's missing it entirely. That's much worse than it just being split. Igadamri Amr of Masr Rabbi Shuban Levi, Nechlukat Yomis Nasa Kamishan Nithat Yomis Apostle. The other Lashon is that no, it's the same thing as it being missing entirely. So if it's split, missing entirely are the same, they're both going to be Puzzle. There is a machlokas rishonim, what we mean when we say a lulav hakafuf, if you have a bent lulav. Rabbi Yeruchim writes that it means that the shidra of the lulav, the actual spine of the lulav, is bent over. But if the shidra is not bent, it's just the leaves are kafuf, meaning the tips of the leaves are bent over at the top. So that's, rov lulavim are like that, have aleim kfufim, and that's perfectly fine. That's what Rabbi Yeruchim writes. The Ran says that a lulav hakafuf means that the middle leaf, the top middle leaf, is bent over and the lulav becomes pasul with that. So if at the top of the lulav, you see the leaf is just bent over a little bit and it's folded over, so that's going to be pasul, says the Ran. He says, even if it's only nefach b'kol shehu, it's going to be pasul. If you have even a little knepel, the Ran holds that it's pasul. So the Rush writes in a tshuva in Klal Chav Dalin, the Shoel wants to say, like the Svara of the Ran, that we should be machmir, not to be yotzi with the lulav hakafuf. So the Rush says enu mistaver, that it's not a logical thing to say because we have enough psulim of a lulav. We don't need to add more psulim. Kaf of pashtus means the shidra. It does not mean that the leaf is bent over at the top, And Adarabba, the Rosh says, Ani ohev yoser lotzeis bo. I prefer a knepel, he says, because that's a way of making sure that you don't have nechlekat yomes, that the middle leaf doesn't get split. So the Rosh says, I personally prefer a knepel. Everyone says, it's the chassidim, it's this, it's that. Yeah, people have traditions, but it's all from Rishonim. These traditions go back way, way, way back. The Ran held its pasul. The Rosh held that's the best thing to use for a lulav. What do we pass on Shulchan Aruch? So in Tafresh Mem Hei Sif Tes, Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rosh, and he says, im kaf of Barosho, it's possible, but that's only if Shidraso Kfufa. But if it's just the Ulim that are Kfufim, it's just the leaves that are Kfufim, so then the Lulav is going to be Kosher. But the Bach and the Radvaz, right, that we should be Machmer like the Ran, that even if the leaf is Kfuf, it's possible, that Eliyahu Rabba quotes these poskim, that we should be Machmer, that even if the leaf is bent, it's possible. However, even that, even if one is Machmer like the Ran, there's bent and then there's bent, meaning sometimes it's bent over a little bit, like at a right angle, and sometimes bent over entirely, like 180 degrees. So the Achronim point out that even the Ran only passels if it's bent 180 degrees. He would not passel if it's bent at a right angle. So there is a way to be yotze both dayos. If you get one that's bent as sort of at a bit of a right angle, so then you yotze the hidur of the Rush, that you're making sure that it doesn't split, because the bend helps to keep it from splitting, and at the same time you yotze the shita saran. So the Maisa, there are some that are makbid to dafka take a lulav with a knepel, and some like the shita of the Rush, and some that are makbid otherwise. They say that in Orchos Rabbeinu it says that the Chazanish and the Stipler would take two lulavim, one without a knepel and one with a knepel. It's kedarka bekodesh, to be machmir for every possible shita and for every possible hider. So they'd make a bracha on the one without a knepel because that's kasha l'chaladeos, and then they would take the one with the knepel because that's hidur according to the Rush. It's an extra level of hidur according to the shitas harash. So Gemara goes by. Now Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, so this is referring back in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says, "Yagdenu milamala," you should tie it on the top, tie the lulav leaves together. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shem Rabbi Tarfon, kapos tamarim, kafos im hayaparud yichavtenu. He understands the word kapos tamarim is a lashon of kafos, of tying it. As we saw yesterday, that Rabbi Yehuda would we had the same drasha, that kapos means that when it says that you need to be ma'agidit, that's not a raya that he holds that you need hadar. He holds you need to be ma'agidit just because kafos, that the lashon of kafos is to tie it. Armle ravinu l'ravashi, mimaydai kapos tamarim to l'lavahu, ema charusa, how do you know the kapos tamarim means the lulav? Maybe it's a different part of the dekel, and it's not the leaves of the branches of the dekel tree. So biden kapos feleka. No, the problem is that you need to be that you would be able to tie it together. You wouldn't have that by this other part of the dekel tree. Ve'ima ufsa. Maybe it's the ufsa, which is apparently at the root of the dekel tree, which also is has branches go out on either side. So kafus mechald. I'm sorry, which doesn't have branches go out on either side. So Gemara kafus mechald diikaparud like kafus vamid liolam. No, kafus sounds like that it could spread, and then when you tie it together, it will all come together. This is never spread out. So the first one, the problem is you'd never be able to tie it together because then all the branches would crack when you tie it together. This one, it never needs to be tied together because it never spreads out in the first place. Ve'ema kufra, maybe it's kufra, which is also some type of part of the tree. Now it can't be the kufra because the Torah says that the Torah's ways are pleasant, and these things, Rashi points out, are very thorny, and it would be very hard to hold them because they would continue to scratch your hands, and they would make a person bleed. So that's not Rachel Darchi Noam. So what? Anything in the Torah that's not enjoyable and it's not pleasant is automatically written out of the Torah. Because Rachel Darchi Noam, if someone finds tefillin to be uncomfortable or sometimes unconscionable, to take an animal, nebuch, a poor innocent animal, and make tefillin out of it. So drachel darchinom, where is the drachel darchinom in that? So they're not going to ever wear tefillin. So the drachel darchinom is used in a very limited sense in Shas. So drachel darchinom is over here. It's not being used to teach us whether a mitzvah should apply or not. It's used to when we know that we have a mitzvah and we're trying to figure out which item did the Torah mean by the mitzvah, so it's an indicator that the Torah probably meant the more pleasant of the two items. So that's how Drachah D'Archinom is used, that when we have a definite mitzvah, but we're not certain which item the Torah meant, so probably the Torah meant that which was more pleasant, that which is not going to cause more pain. Maybe it just means take two branches of dates, two branches that have dates growing on it. Maybe that's what kapos tamarim means. So no, kapas ksiv. It says kapas. It's spelled without the vav, so it can't be two branches of dates. Okay, ve'ema chada. Maybe it's one branch with dates growing on it. So then maybe that's what the mitzvah is. Lahu kaf karile. We wouldn't call that kapos. We would call that kaf. So it's interesting, we say kapas ksiv. Tosos points out at the bottom over here, bahai kuli al mamodu diyeshem l'mesores, that for some reason over here, everyone says, yeah, even though we know we pronounce it, the mikra is kapos, it's kapos tomorrow, but since it's written kapas, so we pay attention to the mesores over here. For some reason, everyone over here agrees that yeshem l'mesores, even though in Gan Shas, we always have a machlokas, where the yeshem l'mikra, yeshem l'mesores, sukas, sukos, totafos, totefes, all the different places we have machlokas, yeshem l'mikra, yeshem l'mesores. For some reason, everybody agrees over here that it's yeshem l'mesores, but he says, tzorech l'zatam, we need a tzorech taima, we need a reason for this. Why is it that everyone says yeshem? In Pesachim, Daflam Rav Amralf, Tos explains that since the Pasuk says to take a Priyetz Hadar, and Priyetz Hadar means one, so we should darsh the Mesoris to Lekuli Alma, that Kapos Tamarim also must mean one. That's why everyone agrees Yeshem the Mesoris. It's the juxtaposition to Priyetz Hadar, which also means one. What does that mean? So that in the Sefer Kapos Tamarim, he explains, what Tosus means is that since the Pasuk should have mentioned Lulav Hadas and Arava before Esrog, because the Lulav Hadas and Arava are all taken together, and that's why by the Bracha, we always make the Bracha Al Netilas Lulav, not Al Tilas Esrog, so Lulav really should come first. Why does the Torah say Esrog first? It must be that it's coming to Darshan Smuchin, that the Torah Dafka wants to juxtapose Esrog with Lulav to teach us that there's something to be learned from the Smichus of Esrog to Lulav. So that's what we're saying. What do we learn from that Smichus? That it's got to be one. That just like an Esrog is one Esrog, a Lulav is one Lulav. So it shows us to Darshan the Mesores of Kapas as opposed to Kapos. Good. Tzinei HaRabarzel Ksheira. So the Mishnah had said that Tzinei HaRabarzel are kosher. Amar Abai, Lo Shanu L'Sharosho Shalzeh Magil Tzadikor Shalzeh. These Tzinei HaRabarzel, these trees that grow by HaRabarzel, they're only kosher if they have very short leaves. That was the Havamina, to assume that they'd be possible. So they're only going to be kosher if the tip of one leaf at least reaches to where the next leaf begins. Aval Ein Rosh Shalzeh Magil Tzadikor Shalzeh, puzzle. But if the tip of one leaf does not reach to where the next leaf begins, then it's going to be puzzle. That's the same lashon I think the Gemara used to describe the Kohen Gadol's haircut. Rosh Hashanah Magil Tzadikar Rosh Hashanah. You get a very short haircut, but it would cover his whole head because each hair would reach to the root of the next hair. But anyway, so that's the gather of Tzinei HaRabarzel. Tanya Nami Achi. We have a braisa that says just like that. Tzinei HaRabarzel Psula. We have a braisa that says Tzinei HaRabarzel Apostle. But the Mishnah says it's kasher. El Shraminok Abayi Shraminok. So Abayi must have been right that it makes a difference whether Rosh Hashalzeh is Magil, it's Hadikar Shalzeh or not. Vika Durami Lemirma. Some ask this whole thing as a stira. Not that Abaye suggested this din of Rosh Hashalzeh Magil, it's Hadikar Shalzeh, and then we mentioned two brises that seem to contradict as a raya to Abaye. No, that the way the conversation happened is that what forced Abaye into his interpretation was that he was presented with the stira between the brise and the Mishnah. Tanan, it says in our Mishnah, Tzinei HaRabarzel Kasher, Aiva Tanya. Psula, but the rice says pasul. So Rabbi Lokasha kan shrosh zeh magil tzadikar shalzeh kan shein rosh zeh magil tzadikar shalzeh. So that's what forces Abaye to say that there must be a difference between how short the leaves are. If the leaves are long enough to at least reach to where the next leaf begins, that's what the brisa assumes. That's what the Mishnah assumes when it says that it's kasher. And if it's not that long, that's what the brisa assumes when it says that it's pasul. What's the nafkamina between the two lashonos? Whether it's Rami Lamirma or Abaye just said his own chiddush. So pashtus is there's no nafkamina, and that's what it sounds like from the Rishonim, that there's no nafkamina. However, in the Sefer Kapos Tamarim, he suggested maybe there is a nafkamina. According to the Lishna Kama, it sounds that Abaye said his Kabbalah without any hechrich. That Abaye said his din without any hechrich. Must be because Kabbalah biyado, he had a Kabbalah, that's the din, that the Tinei Arbarzel depends on the length of the leaves. But of course, so what are you going to argue? In Kabbalah and a Kabbalah, if he has such a Kabbalah, so you can't argue on a Kabbalah. There's no reason to assume otherwise. But according to the second Lashon, it was a Svara, it wasn't a Kabbalah. It was that he was presented with a problem, he was presented with the Stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So the only way to be Mitaritz the Stira was by saying this Chiddush. Oh, so if you can come up with another Teretz to the Stira, so then maybe this Chiddush can be questioned. If it's Kabbalah, so there's nothing you can do about it. But if it's just an answer to a Stira, if you could come up with some other answer. You could prove that it's a machlokas tanaim or something, or some other way that we typically would answer a stira between a braisa and a mishnah. So then Abaye would not be mukhrach anymore. We wouldn't have to say like Abaye. That would be the nafkamina, whether it's Rami Lamirma or like the first lashon. Amrav Miriam Amrav Yishuv Ben Levi va'amri latani Rabba Bar Mari Mishum Rami Yochum Ben Zakai Shteit Marut Yesh Begay Ben Hanam va'ola Ashmi Bneiem v'zeu Shashaninu Tzinei Arbarzel Ksheiros. There are two date trees that are in a certain place, and smoke comes up from between them, and that's the reference to Tzinei Ar Barzel. Those trees are the Tzinei Ar Barzel. And by the way, if you're wondering why smoke comes up from in between them, Vizui Pischa Shel Gehenim. That happens to be the entranceway to Gehenim. So if you see two trees with smoke coming up in between them, you may not want to jump in. You just stay away for a little while. So Lulav Sheyesh Bo Shlosha Tvachim. If you have a Lulav, the Mishnah said that a Lulav has three Tvachim, Kedei L'Nanei Bo is Kasher. So that's a very strange way to say the halacha of how big a lulav has to be. What is it? Is it three tefachim? Is it kedei l'naneibo? Is kedei l'naneibo more? Some Rav Yehuda Shmuel shir hadas v'arava shlosha v'lulav arba'a. A hadas and a rava have to be three tefachim. A lulav, four tefachim, so that it will protrude above the tops of the hadas and the arava by one tefach. Rabbi Parnach Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shidro Shalulav Tzarech Sheyetzim Min Hadas Tefach. Rabbi Parnach says, no, it's not that the lulav in its entirety has to extend one tefach above the hadasim and the aravos. The shidro of the lulav, the spine of the lulav itself, has to extend one tefach above the hadasim in the Aravos. Tosus points out that in a Braisa Maseches Nida, sounds like Rabbi Parnach, because it says over there, Oshke Zeira Demin Chavriya Chamisha Shiura and Tefach. There are five things that have a Shir Tefach, and one of the things it mentions is Shidro Shalulav, the spine of the Lulav. The spine of the Lulav doesn't have to be Tefach, it has to be three Tefach. No, it's talking about the part that protrudes above the Adasim and Aravos, and it says the spine of the Lulav, doesn't say the leaves of the Lulav. So it sounds like Rabbi Parnach in the Gemara in Maseches Nida, but this is the Machlokes. The Lulav has to protrude a Tefach above. Does that mean including the leaves? Or does that mean no? Just the spine has to be a tefach above the height of the hadasim and aravos by one tefach. So tanan, we have a mishnah lulav sheish bo gimel tefachim kedei l'nanei abo kasher. Our mishnah said that a lulav that has three tefachim kedei l'nanei abo is kasher. Sounds against both of these shittos because these shittos both said it has to be four tefachim. So ema u kedei l'nanei abo kasher. What our mishnah should read is that lulav needs three tefachim plus kedei l'nanei abo in order to be kasher. Mar kedislei. What does it mean? U kedei l'nanei abo? Well, then that's the machlokas. Does it have to be a shidra that's an extra tefach, or the leaves that have to be an extra tefach? But definitely there has to be an extra tefach somewhere. Tashma, so we'll bring a raya. Shir hadas v'arava shlosha v'lulav arba'a. The shir of a hadas v'arava is three tefachim, a lulav is four tefachim. My lav b'haday alini, doesn't that mean the lulav in its entirety has to be four tefachim? So lo, levad me alini, it means aside from the leaves. Gufa, shir hadas v'arava shlosha v'lulav arba'a. Rabbi Tarfon omer ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim. Rabbi Tarfon says we're talking about if it's an ama, that's a five tefach ama. That's how big the lulav has to be, a five tefach ama. Amos come in two sizes. There are five tefach amas and six tefach amas. Amos of binyan and amos kalim are different when it comes to the mishkan, but the lulav has to be five tefach ama. So amar rava shari le mari le Rabbi Tarfon. So Rava says the shir, he says Rabbi Tarfon is going way overboard over here. by being so machmir. Hasha avos shloshalom meshkachina and bas chamisha mibayi. If when it comes to anaf etzavos by adasim, we're not going to find three tvachim. We can't even find. Now you're going to tell me that it has to be five tvachim, meaning we're assuming that when he says five tvachim, he's referring to the hadasim, not to the lulav. That the hadasim and the aravos need to be five tvachim. So that's crazy. It's so hard to find a kasher hadas that goes three tvachim up. Now you're going to insist that we find the five tvach hadas. So kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar ama bas shisha tvachim asei osa bas chamisha. He says no, that's not what he meant. What he meant is take a six tvach Amma, divide that into five even parts, where therefore each new tefach is a tefach is 1.2 tefachim. Same and shlosh lahadas, and therefore, and then take three of those new tefachim, and those three tefachim, those three new tefachim, those three new larger sized tefachim, you should measure a hadas by. Vashar lulav, and the rest is for the lulav. Kama havelu tlasu v'tlasu chumshi. So how big does a hadas actually have to be? It only needs to be three times 1.2. So that's 3.6. That's what it has to be. Kasha de Shmuel ad Shmuel, but says Gemara that's a steer in Shmuel. Hacham Rav Yedomer Shmuel shir hadas v'arava shlosha. Vasum Am Rav Yedomer Shmuel halach Rabbi Tarfon. Because on the one hand Shmuel says that the shir of a hadas is three tvachim. On the other hand he says that we pass on like Rabbi Tarfon. Well, if Rabbi Tarfon holds it's got to be 3.6, that's a lot bigger than three tvachim. How could Shmuel just matter of factly say that a hadas only needs to be three tvachim? So lo duck. No, he wasn't being precise. It's about 3.6. It's about 3. It's in the 3 family. So it says, Emer d'amrina lo dak l'chumra. L'kula mi amrina lo dak. Sometimes we'll be imprecise if it's gonna be l'chumra. So we'll say it's about 4. So someone will be makbid to get a 4 tefach hadas. But to be lo dak l'kula, to say when the shear is really 3.6, to say 3, that's lifnei iver. People are going to be nichshal. They're going to get less than 3.6 because they're going to be relying on you telling them that 3 is good enough, and they're not going to be able to say the mitzvah. So kiyasa Rav and Amar, ama bas chamisha tvachim, aseo sa shisha. No, he said the way to do the measurement is the exact opposite of what we said. We said take a 6 tefach ama and divide that into 5 equal parts, and 3 of those parts equals the shir of adas. No. Take a 5 tefach ama, divide that into 6 equal parts, and 3 of those parts will make a hadas. So it's really half of a 5 tefach ama, which would mean that the real shear of a hadas is 2.5 tefachim. Same and shlosh al hadas, so 3 of those new tefachim, those smaller tefachim, will be for hadas. Vashal lulav. Kama havelusa, how big is the actual shear hadas? Treu palga. Then it's only 2.5. Sof, kasha de Shmuel says Gemara, but it's still a steer in Shmuel, because Shmuel said that a shir hadas is 3 tefachim. Now he's telling me that it's 2.5 tefachim. So which is it? How can he say both? So lo dak, v'hainu l'chumra lo dak. That's Shmuel being imprecise when he says 3 tefachim, but that's okay. He's rounding up, so he's being lo dak l'chumra. Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halach Rabbi Tarfon. Shmuel, in fact, does say that halach is like Rabbi Tarfon, but so meikra din, really a 2.5 tefach hadas is good enough, but he's l'chumra lo duck. The Aruch Lener says, really, it's only a chumra to say that the shear is a little bit larger. It could come out of kula also. What if a person can only find a hadas that's 2.7 tefachim long? So if he heard Shmuel's psak halacha, it's got to be 3 tefachim. So he's not going to take it. He's not going to use it. He's not going to get the mitzvah of dalad minim. So it's not stam a chumra. Every time you say a chumra, you have to be careful because a chumra very often has a kula attached to it. So that's the Aruch Lener's kasha. How can you just say l'chumra lo duck? So in the Emek Sukkos, he says, no, la halacha, it says in Shulchan Aruch, la halacha, if you can't find a kashra hadas, you should take a pasla hadas. So la halacha, if a person can't find a hadas that's 3 tefachim long, and he can only find one that's 2.7, and he thinks the shear is 3 tefachim, he would still take that hadas. He would still use that hadas. So it's not going to come out of kula, because he's going to use it anyway. So the question the Achronim say, yeah, but what if you hold mitzvah shrichas kavana? So is he really having kavana l'shem mitzvah when he thinks he's just doing it as a zecher bi'alma, as a way of keeping the mitzvah alive, a remnant of the mitzvah alive? He doesn't really think he's being mekayim the mitzvah. If he holds mitzvah shrichas kavana, it could be that it's that he's not having kavana. Pashas, you would say, if it's somewhere between 2.5 and 3 tefachim, he at least has a suffix that it might be really 3 tefachim, meaning how exact are we in measuring what a tefach is? There are different shitos, maybe according to somebody's shito it's a tefach, so he's probably having kavana just to be on the safe side. He's probably intending to have kavana. There's an interesting expression the Gemara had over here of Sharele Murray, when we thought Rabbi Tarfon was saying that you need a 5 tefach hadas, so Rava said Sharele Murray Rabbi Tarfon, that Hashem should forgive Rabbi Tarfon for saying such a thing. There's a tshuva in the Torah Lishma, in some Rishon and Tess, where someone asked the Torah Lishma about a Talmud Chacham who had written a Psak Halacha on a particular topic, and he argued on a Rishon in writing that pasuk, and in writing that psak, and when he argued on the Rishon, he said about the Rishon, Sharele Mare. So the other Rabbanim got very upset at him and said, he needs kapara. How could he speak about a Rishon in such a way, in such a chutzpahdik way? The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Peivav, says that Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak said, what's a Chilul Hashem? What's an example of Chilul Hashem? A Talmud Chacham, that Brios Omra love Sharele Mare Leplanya. A Talmud Chacham, that people say about him that Hashem should forgive him. So you see, it's a big genai to say Sharele Mare. That's considered Chilul Hashem when people say Sharlei Mari about a Talmud Chacham. So the Torah Lishma says, no, the word Sharlei Mari can mean different things in different contexts. In Maseches Yuma, when we say that it's Chil Hashem, it means Sharlei Mari because of things that the person does. That if people say about a Talmud Chacham that he's such an Avarian, Hashem should forgive him for all of his Averos, so that's a big Ginai, obviously. But in Halachic discourse, Sharlei Mari is just a way of saying, I disagree. Meaning it doesn't mean that you're a terrible person, it means that I think you made a mistake in learning because the way I learned it is a little bit different. But still, the Torah Lishma says, he says, and a raya is that it's not such a chutzpah to say, is who's saying it about who over here? It's Rava saying it about Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was a Tana. Rava was an Amora. So apparently it's not there a chutzpah, because an Amora was allowed to say it about a Tana, apparently. But he says, still, we're not Amoraim. Even though the Rishonim aren't Tanaim, we're certainly not Amoraim. So Achronim should not speak that way about Rishonim to say Sharlei Mari. I was just started reading a book about the Ragachavar. No one told the Ragachavar this, that you're not allowed to speak this way about Rishonim. He was not shy in his disagreements with Achronim. Forget about it. He would never even quote an Achron. Achronim weren't even on the radar. But Rishonim, if he thought the Rishonim were wrong, he would tell you that he thought the Rishonim were wrong. But okay, the different Achronim have different styles. Turi Evan was like that also. Turi Evan, the whole Sefer is this is what Rashi says. This is why he's wrong. This is what Tos says. This is why he's wrong. And this is what I say. And this is why I'm right. That's different Achronim have different styles in terms of how to deal with that. But the main topic over here was Tefach Kedelin Aneabo, the shear of the Tefach. Rav Soloveitchik raises the following chakira. This fourth tefach that we have, Kedelin Aneabo of the Lulav, is that a shear in the chefs of the Lulav? That just like the other three tefachim of the Lulav, it's a din of a shear of the Lulav, so this is a fourth tefach, meaning the Lulav has to be four tefachim, or no, or maybe it's a din in the Nanuin, that the shear of the Lulav is three tefachim, but you have to then make sure that there's an extra tefach for the Nanuim. He says the Nafkamina would be, L'chora, is if the other minim are longer than three tefachim. Do you need an extra tefach above the other minim? Or do we say, no, as long as your shir lulav is four tefachim, it doesn't need to stick out another tefach above the other minim. If it's just a din in the shir lulav that you need four tefachim, so it wouldn't need to stick out above the other minim. But if it's dafka, you have a din of a tefach kedei l'naneya, that you need to have this extra tefach to shake the lulav, so then it would need to stick out above the other minim. Rashi writes, V'shalir nidachos pasul, Rashi writes, Mishum de l'sreifa ka'i, and he says, V'lulav ba'yishir dalet fachim. And the problem with a lulav shalir nidachos is that since it's going to get burnt, and the lulav has a din of dalet fachim, kidil kaman, like our Gemara says, V'kivin de l'sreifa ka'i, ain shi'uro kayim de kasar of dami. So Rashi says very clearly that the shir of a lulav is four tefachim. So it's that's part of the kituzim mechta shirah. It sounds like that tefach revi is not just a din in the nanuim. They have to make sure there's something to shake. It's that it's a din in the shir of the lulav. Also, the sugya Maseches Nida says that we mentioned before, that Tosos quotes that there are five things that shirum tefach, and one of them is tefach kedei l'naneabo. Sounds like it's a din of only l'naneabo from that it's a din of one tefach. It's not a din of four tefachim. So it sounds that Rashi holds it's a din of just the shir lulav, and that from the Gemara Nida that Tosos quotes, it sounds a little bit more that it's a din in the nanuim. Another chakira that he raises, this tefach revi, is it a din shir tefach b'fnei atzmo for the mitzvahs nanuim, or it's mitzvari, it's mitzvarif to the gimel tefachim of the lulav? Meaning, does that tefach need to conform with the other tefachim of the lulav? If the lulav tefachim, we just said in the Gemara, are different sized tefachim than regular tefachim, they're smaller tefachim according to one shita, and you end up with two and a, according to Rabbi Tarfon, you end up that they're only really two and a half tefachim, three tefachim. So that extra tefach, is that an extra one of those sized tefachim, or is it a tefach that's more than those sized tefachim? It's a regular tefach. Okay, so that's what to discuss about this fourth tefach that sticks out above the lulav. So now we move on to the Mishnah about hadas. So the Mishnah tells us hadas hagozel vayavesh pasul. If you have a stolen or dried out hadas, so the hadas is going to be pasul. Shel asher v'shilur nidachas pasul. If it comes from an asherah tree or from an irani dachas, the hadas is also possible. Niktam rosho, if its top is cut off, nifritzu alav, or its leaves are detached, osho you anav merubos me alav, or it has more berries than it has leaves on the hadas, possible. In all of those cases, it's going to be possible. The imiatan kosher, vein matin biyamtov. Now, if you pull off the berries, then you can make the hadas kosher, but you're not allowed to do it on yantif. It's tikun mana to be memait the hadas on yantif by pulling off the berries from the hadas. By pulling them off on Yantif. So you're not allowed to do that on Yantif. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa, anaf eitz avos, sha'anaf of chofinus eitz. So the hadas is described in the Torah as anaf eitz avos, and we assume that that means that the leaves cover over the wooden part, the branch part of the hadas. Vezahu, haviyomer zahadas. That's how we know that the branch that we're supposed to use is a hadas. That anaf eitz avos means a hadas, because that's the kind of branch that the leaves cover over the actual branch. Ve'ima zesa, how do you know that it means a hadas? Maybe it means a zesa, where it also has large leaves that cover over the branches. So being an avos feleka, because it's not just that it has to be covering the branches, but it has to look like a chain. The leaves themselves have to look like they're a chain, and you don't have that by a zayas. Ve'im a dulva, but maybe it's some other type of eitz called a dulva. So it says, "Mar being enough of chofen as eitz, so feleka." No, the dulva looks like a chain, but it doesn't have the leaves covering over the branch. So that's no good. Ve'im a hirduf, maybe it's a hirduf, another type of branch. A hirduf is not pleasant because again it's thorny and it could cut up your hands. Rava says that it's from a different pasuk. It's not about rachel darchinom. It's emes v'shalom ehavu, which also means that it should be something that's emes and shalom, something that's pleasant. And this is not emes and shalom. Rashi says, why is it not emes v'shalom? Because it's a sama mavis. It's poison. So since it's poison, it's not emes v'shalom. So Tulsa says, where does Rashi get the idea that it's poison? Does it say anywhere that the hirduf is poison? So he says, sounds like Rashi must assume that hirduf is the same as hirdufni. In Maseches Chulin, it says that an animal that ate hirdufni is, when it talks about treifus of an animal, that an animal that ate hirdufni might be a treifa because it just ate poison, so it's going to die. So hirdufni is poison. Rashi associates hirduf with hirdufni. Tulsa says, but Rashi is incorrect about this. You can't say this because the Gemara in Maseches Psachim talks about the different minim that you could use for maror, and it says hirdufni amongst the vegetables that a person can be yotze his chiyuv on Pesach for maror. So if it's a sama mavas, if it's poison, so it's very difficult to assume that one is allowed to use a sama mavas for maror. Now the fact that it's not rachel darchinom, that it's the emes v'shalom havu, that's not going to bother us in terms of using it for maror, because the whole problem with it is that it's thorny, Tosa says. It's not the problem that it's going to, that it's a poison. If it's thorny, you could eat it by grinding it up and mashing it up, so then it's not going to be thorny anymore. So that's not a problem when it comes to eating it from Mara, but if you have to take it intact, that's a problem for the Dalad Minim. Mm-hmm. So that's Machlokas Rashi tells us over here, what exactly is this hirduf, and what's the problem with the hirduf? Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Kalua kamin kalia vidom l'shalshela zeu hadas. If it looks like a chain that's braided, so that's a hadas. Reb Lozer ben Yaakov Omer, anaf eitz avos eitz if the fruits and the eights taste the same, that's a hadas. So different simanim of what the hadas is. Tana eights avos kasher, v'she'enu avos pasul. If it's avos, then it's kasher. If it's not avos, it's pasul. What does that mean? Hechidami avos. What does avos mean? So Amar Yehuda v'hu dekaimi tlasa tlasa tarpi bikina. It means that there are three leaves that come out of each segment of each spot along the length of the branch. Rav Kana Amar afilu trei v'chad. Rav Kana says even if it's two and one, even if it's not three all at one spot, it's two and then one comes out a little bit above. Rav Acha b'Reid Rava Mahadra Trei V'Chad Hol V'Nafik Mipumi Rav Kana. Once Rav Kana said that it's kosher to have two leaves and one leaf a little bit above it, so Rav Acha b'Reid Rava was dafka makbid on that to show how he believes in what Rav Kana said, that's the concept of Hol V'Nafik Mipumi, that once he says that that's the way it is, so that's the way it is. There are grandchildren of Ramosha, not all of them, but there are some grandchildren of Ramosha that are makbid to dafka have non-chol of Yisrael milk in their house. Because given the nafik mipume, once Ramosha said that way, that it is called chol of Yisrael, chol of a company is called chol of Yisrael, so the dafka makbid to have that way, just to show that they believe that he's correct. Amrle marbar memel Ravashi, Abba lahu had the shota karile. He said, my father would not have been pleased with that idea at all. He held that if it comes out two on one side and one on the other side, that's called a hadas shota, that one cannot be yotze with such a hadas. It's interesting, when the Rambam quotes the din of hadas shota, he quotes it in the seventh parak of Hilchas Lulav, and when he quotes the din of hadas shenoshru rov olav, which is the next din the Gemara is going to discuss, where most of the leaves are removed, he quotes that in the eighth parak of Hilchas Lulav. He splits the two dinim. Rav Salvechik explained that he splits the two dinim because they're two separate types of psulim. Not just that they're separate psulim, they're separate types of psulim. A hadas shota, he says, is not a min hadas at all. It's not called a hadas. So it's not just a psul in the hadas, that there's something wrong with this hadas. That's how Reb Chaim explained, that it's not a din of a hadas at all. And he gets it from the Rush. In Simon Yadal, the Rush writes, hadas shota nechleku agadolim im hu min hadas v'yachlosim menu lunoi. Bahag kosad hadas shota afilu badi achrini pasul. The Bahag says, even if you have enough kasher hadasim, you're not allowed to add a hadas shota to the mix just to make it greener and bigger and make it look nicer. Why? Because you're adding a fifth min into the lulav, that it's a totally different min. But a hadas shenoshu rov alav, that you could add in because that's still a hadas. It's just a different min. So that's a major nafkamina, whether hadas shota is a min hadas or not. They say that when Ramesh Salvechik, during the First World War, when they didn't have enough hadasim ksherim, he was matted them b'shasat chak to take hadasim psulim, like the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says, that when you have a min kasher, you take a min pasul. But he said not to take a hadas shota. You could take one that's nashu rovolav. Hadas shota is not pasul, it's not a min hadas at all. And that you're not allowed to do. We said in yesterday's daf, you can't take a rimon instead of an esrog. So you can't take a hadas shota instead of a regular hadas. Okay.